Good morning and welcome to Lighthouse Daily Manna. For those of you that might be new to viewing our little podcast that we do, I'm Pastor Ron and I'm blessed to spend this time with you today. Hey, I want to ask you a question. If you are listening to a song and you find yourself singing along with that song, do you find yourself singing that same chorus or that song throughout the day? Well, I do. That happens to me. And I have this song that's been stuck in my head since Saturday. And it's composed by a dear friend. So he wrote it, he composed it, and he performed it. And he's with Jesus. So I don't even get to talk to him about it anymore. But it's called Nobody Loves Me. Now, that seems like a strange song, right? So before we dive further into the meaning of that song, let's pray and we'll trust the Lord to direct our time together. So Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to spend time with friends and family and Lord, that we get a look at your word and the things about life that you want to communicate to us and how they connect in ways that oftentimes we miss. But Lord, help us to see clearly through this instruction of your word. Lord, thank you for our time together today as we ask your blessing. In your name we pray. Amen. So this song, this is going to be a little embarrassing, but I'm going to try to sing it a little bit. So just hang in there. But it goes, if I can remember it well, this is a little weird for me. I don't typically do something like this. But it goes, nobody loves me. Nobody loves me the way that you do. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me the way that you do. When I am alone in the night, Jesus, you are my light. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. On this I depend. That was really off key. Anyway, that was it. And then nobody loves me. And it just keeps going, you know. And so the point is, I believe that as we listen to the lyrics of this song that says nobody loves me, it's like, whoa, that sounds like a depressing song. But it's not. It just says nobody loves me the way like you do. Nobody loves me the way that Jesus loves me. So we got to be careful not to be quick to judge. That's the message for today. And so as we pick up back in Proverbs chapter 18, I just felt like we need to stay there because God communicates through his word, right? And he's desiring to get our attention off of circumstances, but are we thinking about things before we respond? Are we checking our hearts and our emotions before we respond? Because oftentimes we can respond emotionally without thinking, and sometimes we don't think when we should about, you know, offending other people and considering the heart of others. So anyway, Proverbs 18, beginning verse 17, says, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. So the simple message of that is don't be too quick to make a decision until you hear both sides, right? You got to be a good listener to the whole before we champion somebody's cause, right? Because all of a sudden we could find ourselves in a place that we really don't want to be in. Well, let's go on to verses 18 and 19. It says, the lot puts an end to quarrels and decides between powerful contenders. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. You know, to me, what I hear in this passage is it says, be careful about getting into arguments, especially with people that you would recognize as your brother. And when I speak of a brother, when the Word of God speaks of a brother, it's not just speaking about a biological brother, it's speaking about a brother in Christ, a brother or sister in Christ. And it says, be guarded about getting into conflicts with brothers and sisters in Christ, because the sad part about that is you can offend and hurt people. And that's not what we want to do. We want to work towards a place of oneness. So it says, you know, let a lot decide. Let the flip of a coin, the simplicity of a flip of a coin, make the decision of, hey, we're going this way or we're going this way. Because when you're doing that, you're trusting not in yourselves and your reasoning, but you're trusting in what God's going to do. Because isn't he the one that you want to trust in anyway? I think so. Well, let's go to verse 20. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So how we say what we say matters. Is the fruit of our mouth really nourishing, or is it spoiled and it brings poisoning? Are the things that we say and the way that we say things poisoning to others? Because we have the choice. You know, is our speech, even when we might be frustrated, are we pausing and allowing our speech to be, if you will, filtered by the Spirit of God? Because what's the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit, as Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. It says you're going to exceed the boundary of the law by the fruit of the Spirit of God flowing through you. And it flows through us in the character of it by our speech, because that comes out of the recesses of our hearts. Oh, so it's not what goes into a man's stomach that defiles a man, it's what comes out. What's in your heart? So the way that our hearts are influenced is what's going through here, what's going through the windows of our minds. That influences what's happening in our hearts. And so, man, we got to be careful. And am I speaking of my own reasoning, or wait a minute, am I counseling it, considering what is God's word said? Well, God's word says get the whole story before you make a decision, because if you do, then boom, you're at the right spot. That's almost almost sounds like John Madden, right? Well, let's go to verse 22. So verse 22 says, and he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and obtains favor from the Lord. It's one of my favorite passages in all of life. He who finds a wife, one who shares life with. I cannot express enough appreciation to the Lord for my wife. And honestly, I didn't find her. I think the Lord showed me who she was. And he goes, take a look. There's a woman that I'm going to use to change your life, because she has a message in her that's one that you're looking for, but you just don't know it. And that's true. My Susie had a message in her, and her message was the gospel of grace, that I need to repent. And it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That sounded really good to me. So I wanted to know more of that. And that drew me to a place where I had to make a decision about what she was saying versus what I had learned in my pathway of life. And because they weren't matching up, they couldn't both be correct, right? And so that's what I asked God. I said, God, I want to know who you are. And so I will read your word if you show me who you are. And that's exactly what he did. He gave me a wonderful desire for his word. And so he started putting his word into my life. And his word becomes the speech of my life. Now, I wish it were the case all the time. I wish I was perfect and I could say the things that I want to say all the time. And when I don't, I have to go to a place that says I acknowledge the wrong. It's called reconciliation. You have to go to a place of humility, and it just says, hey, what I just said, or the way I said it was wrong. Won't you please forgive me? Oh, that's the beginning of restoring the hearts, right? And so that's a characteristic, I believe, of the strength of Susie's and my marriage, is that we reconcile even little things, because we don't want to be in a place of offense, because little things fester. You know, that's what a splinter does. If a splinter can fester into a major problem, right? But if you deal with it, we can deal with the splinters of our mouths by seeking forgiveness, seeking grace, because we don't deserve it. But when we know Christ, that's what we know to give to others. So, hey, as much as I wanted to finish there today, I've got more that I want to share with you that I think is really important, but we're going to do that next week. If I can just encourage you, this is allow the Word of God to give you clarity by examining it and thinking through it and considering how is it applicable to me. So God bless you, and thank you for joining me today, and I'll look forward to seeing you next week.